Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Today, I am really excited to bring you the first program of JBL's Summer of Shakespeare series that I taped the last 2 weeks of May on location in England. Now, here's what this means. That means that before we can begin discussing Hamlet, there are actually four exciting programs, two of which deal specifically with the play Hamlet. Then we'll have at least five programs on Hamlet, and then that should take us to the middle of August. But I guarantee that you will enjoy this summer series. So, hi, I am Dennis Leib. I'm a radio host, and it's for a program called Just the Best Literature. And what it is, it's a college-sponsored program from the Central United States. Okay. So I'm here in Stratford, and we've been taping really all week. And what we're trying to do is just bring Shakespeare to life for people in America. Right. And so I have the opportunity to teach literature to everybody who wants to listen. Okay. So are you native right here to Stratford?
This gentleman is. I'm not. I'm a visitor.
And what is your name, sir?
My name is John Armstrong.
And where are you from?
I'm from Staffordshire, which is adjacent to Warwickshire, not too far away.
Yeah, it's very
for
beautiful.
For Shakespeare County, yeah.
Yeah, it's very beautiful country, though.
And I've just moved up from London, so this is coming to Shakespeare country has been good news for us.
So this is like summer home for
it,
you now.
It is.
Yeah. So I just want to know, this is the 400th anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare.
It is.
So how much do you, let's say, as a local, how much do you know about Shakespeare?
Well, we know that he was an integral part of English heritage in terms of literature, which I've actually taught in high school, actually. And as a result, you know, we try and embed a little bit of Shakespeare into every English child simply because our history is here. You know, his plays reflect the drama of English history, also the comedy of English history. And, you know, you have the tragedy of English history and Scottish history. So, you know, in every Shakespeare play, there's a message for every single child, even 400 years later after the plays were written.
I really like to hear you say that because I also teach Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer that we need to preserve the education that Shakespeare really tried to teach everybody in this world. So I really believe personally that Shakespeare helped make the empire great. And so I really agree with you. There's all this history. We taped programs this week at Bosworth, the battlefield there.
Oh, yes.
So for Richard III.
Yeah.
So and sir, could you tell me who you are?
My name is Richard Mays, and I used to be in business in Stratford. And I used to come in contact with an awful lot of visitors who came to Stratford specifically for the Shakespeare connection. And quite some quantity of it washed up on me.
Yes.
And I have spent the last 30 years in Stratford and thoroughly enjoy living here.
That's great. I mean, it is. I think it's an absolutely beautiful community. So let's just talk a little controversy here just to see what we can stir up here. And I'm not sure where I stand on this, but, you know, there are a lot of scholars that do a lot of reading all day long. And they study and they study and they study. And some, you know, we know there's a little bit of sketchy history on William Shakespeare. We don't know a whole lot about him. There's not a lot of record.
I think the whole of the history of Shakespeare is somewhat sketchy.
Yes.
I think the importance of his position in literature is to some extent confounded by the fact that we don't know a lot biographically about him. And this is really quite a problem to his understanding. I mean, the fact that he vilified Richard III is a terrible impediment to the thorough understanding of English history, but the politics of the time would have dictated that that's what he had to do. I mean, he lived in Elizabethan times, when Richard was considered the worst of the worst. The princes in the tower, etc., etc.
Yes.
The worst excesses, really.
Yeah, I know. At the very end of the play, you know, there's the famous lines in Richard III where he's obviously, his horse is caught in the marsh, and he's yelling, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. So that's very famous. But then the very next line is, the bloody dog is dead. So I think history's coming around to see that maybe Richard III shouldn't have been as vilified as he was. And
there is a bit of Richard III that I love when he is discussing with his wife the fact that he has executed her father, all his relations, brothers, cousins, etc. When asked what he thought about this, he said, well, sometimes a man doth act ill-advised.
Classic
understatement. Yes. There are some people that really believe that actually, of course, there was a William Shakespeare actor, but they're also, they feel like, because the history tells us that he probably only went through grammar school, that some people believe it was Edward de Vere is actually Shakespeare.
The Earl of Oxford. Correct.
So what do you think of that? I mean, I'm not taking a stance either way.
Oxford was one of those who thought they could buy their way into history by claiming that they wrote the verses.
Okay.
And that's as close as it gets to reality.
Okay. So what do you think, sir?
I think it goes back to what Richard said earlier about the fact that we have sufficient biographical information about the early days of Shakespeare, anything that actually confirms either way that he was writing what he did or what he didn't do. It's a very difficult thing for people to get to grips with, actually. I mean, I'm always fascinated by the fact that he wrote plays, or allegedly wrote plays, not just about contemporary history but previous history. Take the Julius Caesars of this world, where he actually relied on the historians like Plutarch, for example. So there is evidence of scholarly behaviour, but, you know, to what extent it was actually by this actual guy called Shakespeare, who knows? I mean, we won't hear anything else but the fact that it was William Shakespeare. But, you know, until somebody else comes up with something else, well, we'll stick with that. And 400 years on, we're into it. We're not going to have our moment taken away from us right now.
Well, when I was at Hampton Court, I talked to a professional, and they said, "Oh, why don't they just leave it alone? You know, let us have Shakespeare." And, you know, there is no doubt that whoever wrote those plays was a genius.
Yeah.
There is no doubt whoever wrote them was a great historian.
I think the fact is that King Edward VII Grammar School in Stratford would have given any child of his age as good an education as was available anywhere in the world at the time. And why this wouldn't have equipped him to write what he wrote, I don't understand.
Yes, well, see, that's good to have someone that's lived here all their lives to tell us these things, because I don't necessarily believe all the scholars. So let me ask this. So both of you seem to be pretty well read to me. So what is your favorite Shakespeare play?
I think Macbeth, actually, for all the treachery and the drama and everything that goes into it, a piece of history. The way it's written, the sheer drama that you can identify with. And it's something that youngsters really get to grips with quite easily. I mean, there are the comedies, but I think the tragedies are what Shakespeare's all about, really.
Yes, I think I'd agree with that as well. So what about you, sir?
I think I like Richard III because it combines a tragedy with a comedy in a brilliant way.
Yes, yes. So what I do is I teach sophomore college Shakespeare, and one of the assignments that I make them do, and they always like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding." I make them write their own soliloquy in iambic pentameter.
All right.
And you know, they always complain, "Oh, you're kidding, you're gonna make us do this." And then by the end, they say, "That was the most wonderful exercise we've been through." It really does help them write.
Because it's a structure.
And
that framework, which has been devised, you know, years and years ago, kids actually can relate to that. And they see at the end of it, they've actually achieved something by following a formula, a structure. You know, whether it be a rhyme scheme or a rhythm scheme or whatever it is, you know, they realize that literature actually is a very clever means of expression, you know.
Well, I work for Herbert W. Armstrong College, and one of the things we believe heavily in is a liberal arts education. And that's what really makes a child a really good employee. And so the other reason why we put such a stress on Shakespeare is because it does teach people to think deeply.
Oh, yes.
I just brought for the students, we just saw the current production of Hamlet here at the Royal Shakespeare Company. I thought it was exceptional in the way they hold fast to what Shakespeare wrote. You know, they don't do any cuts.
Yeah.
And you know, I was just amazed. You could see it on film, you know, you can read it, but when you see a great actor act out, yeah, it really brings it to life for you. So
I think what I like about Shakespeare is that, I mean, I listen to you professionals talking in a literary way, but what I like about it is that about 40% of the language, the vernacular language that we use, was stuff that Shakespeare wrote.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the most famous movies that most kids like is The Undiscovered Country. Yeah. It was a, you know, a Star Trek movie, and I say, well, do you know where that came from? And no, it comes from Shakespeare. There's so much of our little sayings come from Shakespeare.
Yes, there is a fascinating thing, though, that two of Shakespeare's plays, two of his famous plays, have been translated into Klingon. Now,
yes.
How good is that?
Check that one out. I don't know if the melody and the rhyming and the flow would be the same.
But you never know.
Yes, and the sunburn would be a little different.
So talking with you two gentlemen, I really believe that people really like Shakespeare here.
They do.
It's great.
You know, and when they bring it, even for youngsters, so my daughter's a teacher in first school, and there she's sharing Shakespeare plays with these guys, and because it's brought down to their level in a language they understand, they absolutely love it. They love the role play, they love the history, they love the drama, they love the comedy, because the language speaks to them.
It does.
And even youngsters, they don't understand it all, but they understand the rhythms and the patterns and the stories, and that's what children like. And if you can get them into that, which we do in England as much as we can now, then who knows? You know, the culture lives.
Yes, and then you've got the utter timelessness of it. It fits into any time, in any point in history, from Roman to Space Age.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so, let me just ask this. Are you two aware of the big controversy between the Royal Shakespeare Company and the Globe? Have you seen the Melanie Phillips article in the Times?
No, I'm not aware of the controversy.
There's a little bit. What's going on is there's a new creative director at the Globe, and they're bringing in a lot of, well, transgender. I guess there's one play where they're dancing in hot pants to David Bowie, and it's supposedly a Shakespeare play. But what Melanie Phillips does praise the Royal Shakespeare Company here in Stratford, because they don't do the cuts. You know, they don't slice up the words. They keep the words. They don't compromise. And so I guess just recently the two creative directors were at a fair somewhere, and I guess they went at it. So I'm certainly on the side of Royal Shakespeare Company. Myself.
What we find is that they try and use actors who are currently in vogue, like the Benedict Cumberbatches of this world. You know, and I watched a BBC production of Midsummer Night's Dream on television last evening, and then you had some well-known faces actually in the cast, just to make people feel a bit more comfortable with the language and seeing people that they recognise, even if they didn't recognise every single thing they were saying. But at least, you know, they're actually tuning in and they're staying with it, which I thought was actually a great move by the BBC. But that's not dumbing down, in my view.
Right.
That's actually just celebrating Shakespeare with people who, you know, are normally associated with other mediums, but actually can actually turn out a Shakespeare play just as well, and that's good.
Well, the Royal Shakespeare Company, what they do with Hamlet is my favorite.
Yeah.
I rely on Hamlet to teach the younger students, like the... If you look at some of the best, let's say, journalism pieces about business, one of the things that, you know, there's so much education now is specialized. You have to be an engineer, you have to be a computer engineer, you have to be this scientist. But the corporations in America are suffering because they say these really smart, intelligent kids don't know how to think. They don't know how to talk with each other.
They don't have any imagination.
Right.
That's the problem.
But if you teach them Shakespeare and you teach them how to think, and I know our students do take the Bible and we use the King James Authorized Version, And they'll say, we can't read Shakespeare. And I said, well, you read that Bible, you can read Shakespeare. And so I'm a believer is the more you stay true to the words and just take the time to educate people, you can begin to understand.
Yeah.
You can understand it, and it actually is quite, I think it feeds your brain. It doesn't hurt your brain. If you look at Hamlet especially, how much of the Bible is quoted. I mean, it is tremendous, really. So I just look at William Shakespeare as just a great educator.
Yeah.
And
he was born.
Right there.
Right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
standing in the hot spot.
I know. Well, we're standing here without getting wet if we can avoid it, so.
It's almost a Tudor Wi-Fi position.
That's really funny.
We have to go.
We have to go.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Just the Best Literature with Dennis Leap on 101.3 KPCG.
Okay, so hello. Thanks for stopping. I just want to let me explain what we're doing. I am a radio host. My name's Dennis Leap, and the program is called Just the Best Literature. And we're from the central United States. But also, we're trying to capture people on the ground, their excitement about Shakespeare. And so here you are in Stratford. So are you local to Stratford, or are you visiting Stratford?
Well, I'm local. I'm from Banbury, which is about 40 minutes away. And my friends are visiting from Canada and Mexico, stroke America.
Oh, good. And what was your name?
Allison.
Allison. And what is your name?
Annie.
And you're from Canada?
I'm from the United States originally, but I married a Canadian.
Oh, you did. So what part of the United States are you from?
Oregon.
So are you here? You know, it's the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's death. So are you here just to visit friends, or are you here to just take in everything about Shakespeare?
Everything about Shakespeare.
Oh, that's great. So what is your favorite Shakespeare play? Well, we'll start at easy. How about that?
I was just saying that a couple minutes ago. I would say King Lear.
That's my favorite.
Okay, well, my favorite would be either Midsummer Night's Dream, or I also like Taming of the Shrew.
Yes. Have you been to the Globe recently?
No, I haven't been to the Globe, but we are going to see Hamlet tonight in the...
Oh, right here? It's great. I saw it twice since I've been here. And then the Royal Shakespeare Company was absolutely kind and generous and considerate and let me come and interview both Hamlet and Ophelia. So I was able to talk to them personally, and they are just great. They do a great job. So let's see. So let me ask you something controversial.
Uh-oh.
And it's not bad. But, you know, there are a lot of scholars that are saying that William Shakespeare was a great actor, but he didn't really write the plays. And then they're saying that this the Earl of Essex, his name is Edward de Vere, is actually wrote the plays, but he was afraid of getting in a lot of legal trouble with Queen Elizabeth, so he borrowed
that
Shakespeare.
Movie, right? What's the movie that presents it that from that way?
Well, there might be a movie, but there's also a book called The Mysterious Mr. Shakespeare, where this man has done years and years of research to figure that out. So what do you think?
I still think it's William Shakespeare.
Okay. I mean, they don't really know.
No,
I mean, there's a sketchy part of his history, but I mean, the plays are what? They're eternal, aren't they?
Well, I think we know so little about Shakespeare, but I don't think it really matters about the man. It's about the plays. And to quote, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet."
I agree with you. I agree with you. But it's the words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So are you aware of all the controversy between Royal Shakespeare Company and the Globe over the plays? Have you heard about this? Do you know the journalist Melanie Phillips? She writes for the London Times. She writes for, you know, I think, several publications. She has her own blog. She's a very conservative writer, but she really believes that Shakespeare should be preserved, that his writing should be preserved. It's great for the children, especially the children of Britain. It's part of their national identity. And she believes that Shakespeare, his words are really, they're timeless. They still apply today as much as they did in the 1600s. And certainly I agree with her. I do teach Shakespeare, by the way.
Yeah, so it's always great that the two gentlemen just came by. We're also teachers. Mm-hmm. So it's like we find each other, don't we?
So we can come back to where it all starts.
Yeah. So it is pretty exciting. And the thing that impresses me, I think, is the honor and respect that the local people here do give to William Shakespeare. And it's not just a brand, even though it does bring good income in.
Well, I teach in a tiny little international school in Mexico, so there's no patriotic reason to look at Shakespeare at all there.
Right.
So the only thing that draws us is Shakespeare himself and the plays themselves. And
So
we do a very edited version of Shakespeare, one of the Shakespeare's plays every year, because our audience goes from kindergarten to 12th grade and their parents. And so we have to be very careful with the violent ones, and we tend to stick to the comedies. But, you know, the kids love the idea that they're walking down the sidewalk saying lines in Shakespearean English. And so it has nothing to do with, English heritage. It has to do with, this is cool.
Right. Well, the other thing, when you, of course, you'll see Papa Essadu tonight in his full glory. But in our interview, I read a little bit quote from Melanie Phillips, Miss Phillips, and where he's talked about the British identity. He says the whole world can identify with William Shakespeare. And I really believe that's true.
It's so international because there's so many other... It's not just talking about England. I mean, there's probably very little about England and Britishness in the actual stories. You know, you're referring to Jewish people, you're referring to the Danish, you're referring to the Italians. It's a world story. It's not just about one group of people in one area that other people can't relate to. And it's life issues, you know, death, love, jealousy, who's in charge, all those things. It's not British.
That's what I think about Hamlet, why I like it the best, because I do believe it does teach children about human nature, and it teaches them about what can happen to relationships, and it can teach them, really, even though the tragedy is, I mean, there's how many people dead at the end of that play?
Well, half the reason why I bought tickets for Hamlet, apart from having visitors coming, is because I'm doing a musical version of Hamlet for children at the moment at school with 10 and 11-year-olds. And when I told my other teacher friends we were doing Hamlet, they're like, but everybody dies. How can you do that? And as soon as I said to the children, we're going to do Hamlet, does anybody know anything? One of the boys said, yeah, everybody dies. And there was this huge, yes! They were so excited that they could actually deal with the fact that people were going to die, because they weren't that interested in love. 10 and 11-year-olds are like, blech, you know. But they could relate to the death side, and they are loving it. And I didn't know whether they would get the complexity of the story and the idea of a ghost and someone coming back and dealing with death, and you know, should Hamlet thinking, would it be better dead or not dead? And they really have picked up on it. So,
but isn't that the beauty of Hamlet though? Doesn't he ask those questions that all of us ask? Like, he has the whole thing with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern about, you know, what a piece of work is man, and like, he's asking, well, what is a man, what's our purpose? And then he goes into all the other things where he talks about, you know, what, you know, here we are, we're reasonable creatures, we can think, we can understand, and then he just says that we defy augury, he does all these things. But these are the questions people want to know. Is like, Papa and I talked about this, and I really believe that Hamlet is every man. It was meant for every man. It doesn't matter what culture, and if you're black, you can have an all-black Hamlet, and it's perfect. You can have an all-Asian Hamlet, and it's perfect. You can have an all-Italian Hamlet, you can have an all Mexican Hamlet, because it's the same questions that everybody asks, no matter who you are. And so it is really quite interesting. But one of the things I do teach my students, I said, and I catch them on this every year, I said, look, there is one bright spot at the end of Hamlet. And they all go, what are you talking about? And I said, I want you to think about it. Not everyone dies at the end. They always say, everyone dies at the end. I said, no, they don't. I said, who lives? Horatio, and what is his job? I always say, what is his job?
What's his job?
His job is to bring peace back to Denmark.
And it's also to tell the story.
To give
give meaning to the violence and the deaths by telling the story of tragedy.
Right, and then maybe you could prevent it from happening to you if you learned the lessons that Hamlet learned and Ophelia learns and, you know, Claudius. I mean, that's...
Yes, thank you. Got my next lesson planned.
See? Yeah. See, it's free. So, well, I don't want to hold you up, but I just want to say thanks for coming and talking with us.
Thank
see,
you.
I got the Shakespeare teacher. So.
Thank you. It's been interesting. It's good to hear someone else's perspective. I have a lesson planned.
Yeah, there you go. Really happy to pass that off to you. So, again, thanks for stopping. And it's even raining, everyone, but that's okay. We can talk Shakespeare. It doesn't matter.
That's right. And I get to take a taste of this place back to Mexico.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm trying to do with this, is just bring a taste of Stratford and Shakespeare back to the States, because people need it. People really need to be reading more. That's my whole thrust of the program, is get rid of your iPad. You don't have to throw it out, but just stop it for a while and read something, because they don't do that anymore. Get the book out and touch the book. And
that's right. Oh, it's great when you see that.
When Polonius asks Hamlet, what are you reading? And he says,
words, words, words.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great time while you're here. And I'm glad you're here visiting, taking in Shakespeare. So you'll be fired up to go back and really teach more. So thank you. I hope you enjoyed the thoughts of the Stratford-upon-Avon residents. They love and respect their national poet. And we in America should too. In fact, I have a special literature offer to help you respect Shakespeare more. Our Herbert W. Armstrong College Chancellor Gerald Flurry has written an extensive article titled Shakespeare and the British Empire. This article discusses why Shakespeare's poetry is so important. We've made this article a piece of our reprint series and will send it to you without charge upon request. You can call our literature request line at 1-800-772-8577, or you can email me your request to jbl@pcog.org. Remember, you must give me all of your full name and all of your address information. Please also follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. I'll be posting photos from the trip. I will also be giving you special announcements, and I'll also be giving you information on the play Hamlet. So thanks again for listening today, and until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.